to the Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It is hour two of the Big Show on this Thursday. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Sandra Prusina, Logan Gordon with you. And it's a busy one around the world of sports. And a pretty cool announcement in Canadian sport earlier today. Canada Sports Hall of Fame 2022 inductees named, and a lot of familiar faces there, including Haley Wickenheiser and Adam Vancouverden. But as you look down the list, you see John Tavares. And of course, you're thinking, well, yeah, isn't he playing a hockey game tonight? He's probably busy with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, before that JT, there was another JT, and he is very, very well known for his prowess in the sport of lacrosse, a three-time National Lacrosse League MVP. He spent his entire career with the Buffalo Bandits, and he retired the all-time franchise leader in every major offensive category. So his trophy case is obviously very big, and he has an incredible distinction that he can now add to all of that hardware. He is heading to Canada's Sports Hall of Fame as a 2022 member. Congratulations, John. How are you? Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Well, thanks, Andrew. That's a nice introduction to people that don't know me. It's definitely an honor to be inducted into the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame.
Has this news hit you hard yet?
You know, I've known for a little while, and I was told to keep it discreet. And, you know, it didn't really hit me until the announcement today that I've been inducted, even though I've known for several weeks now. And I must say it's an exciting time for me and my family. And even like you mentioned there, in the lacrosse community, it's lacrosse is a very small world, if you will. So I think it's important that the sport gets recognized. And through my induction to the Hall of Fame, I think there's some, you know, obviously national attention, and hopefully bring some more recognition to the sport, because it is a great sport.
I think that'll help out with this next question I have to ask in terms of getting the sport on a higher profile. What does this accolade mean to you?
Oh, I mean, it's to be recognized across the country with all the top athletes. Obviously, it means a lot. There's not many awards that I've won that are outside of the realm of lacrosse. So, you know, being recognized as one of the top athletes in Canada is definitely a great accomplishment that I'm proud of. And, you mentioned my nephew John playing for the Leafs. You know, he gets a lot of recognition. He's a great hockey player. And there's a lot of great athletes out there playing lacrosse that don't get recognized. So it's nice to represent the lacrosse world.
So take us back to those early days, if you can, in Ontario. Why was it lacrosse, and was there somebody you looked up to in the lacrosse community to see you pursue this sport?
Well, how far back do you want me to go? Since the beginning?
Let's do it.
The beginning is I grew up downtown Toronto, so I'm an inner city kid, Bathurst and Queen, lived near Alexander Park. My older brother, Danny, played lacrosse for St. Christopher House, which was a community center nearby that pretty much was a trying to keep kids out of trouble through arts and sports. And there was an outdoor box, and I literally, at the age of five, take his lacrosse stick and go throw the ball off the boards. And I fell in love with the sport ever since. You know, little that I know it would lead up to being inducted into Canadian Sports Hall of Fame, but that was the sport that kids in my neighborhood played, because it was at a very low cost. It was $20 registration fee, and they provided equipment, stick, uniform, and transportation.
So everything you needed.
That's why it was lacrosse. Yes, pretty much, yes. So it was affordable, even though my mom, every year I remember her saying, I'm not going to pay your $20. I don't want you getting hurt. I don't want you being part of it. It's too physical. And every year she paid that $20 registration fee for me. So it started at a very young age. And, you know, when I played lacrosse, I had no intentions of ever, you know, making a livelihood out of it. I moved on to Mississauga in my junior years, and I played for a bunch of senior A teams. But my professional career was 24 years playing for the Buffalo Bandits.
So take us to that. 1992, you play your first season for the Bandits of the National Lacrosse League. You'd stay there for over 2.5 decades as a player. Yeah. That is essentially unheard of in professional sports.
Well, in professional lacrosse, in the early years when I played in the 90s and early 2000s, it was unrestricted free agency was unheard of. It was tough to move willingly from team to team. You literally have to be traded. So fortunately, I never was traded. And when I did qualify in my late 30s to be an unrestricted free agent, I just decided to stay in Buffalo because it's a great place to play. We have a great fan base, familiarity. Geographically, it was close to home. So it was a great place for me to continue to play. And I think it's the reason why I played for so long, just being, you know, familiar with being on the same team over and over. I think it would have been harder to switch teams and play for a long career.
Canada Sports Hall of Fame 2022 inductee John Tavares on the line with us here on The Big Show. Logan?
John, first of all, congratulations on the award. Thanks for taking some time out of your day to join us. You mentioned your mom there with, you know, growing up and the support that she would have given you. But I guess as you sort of look at this award and maybe your career as a whole, who are some of those people that you associate with helping you get to this point in your life?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's definitely my brother Danny for getting me involved, and then the gentleman who ran the St. Christopher House organization was like a second father to me. His name is Bob Ellis. And then moving along, a lot of my coaches in Mississauga had Al Burton. He coached me in junior lacrosse, and he just was able to give me a lot of confidence to move on to the next level. And then when I played senior A lacrosse in Ontario, Les Wakeling. Yeah, predominantly a lot of my coaches, actually, that just gave me the confidence to move forward and put me in positions to succeed offensively. And of course, you know, I think, I don't know, you guys don't know where I play, but I'm not a big guy. I'm not a fast guy. So I don't think I would have been where I am today without my teammates. I had the opportunity to play with a lot of great teammates, and without them, I would have had none of the stats that I have today. So I got to thank all the players I played with and all the great coaches that I've had, and, of course, my family. I got to credit my wife for, you know, being understanding and pushing me. She didn't want me to stop playing. She loved that I played, and she pushed me to play longer. And I would say the last 5-6 years of my career is credit to my family, you know, just having that support at home, because it's not an easy gig. You know, I work full time as a teacher every week and I'm away. So for, you know, 4 months of the year. So it's not easy on the family when you have 2 kids. So I got to give a lot of credit to the support I get at home as well.
I imagine just hearing how you speak about how many coaches influenced your career over the time that, you know, they've probably had a great influence on sort of your secondary career in lacrosse too, being an assistant coach and eventually now being the head coach of the Buffalo Bandits. I imagine you've taken a little bit from all those great coaches in your life, John, and try to apply it to what you do on a daily basis now, right?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I never thought of myself as somebody who's going to coach. I played for so long that I just kind of thought I was going to play forever. And when the opportunity came to retire, I was offered an assistant coaching job. And I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, that's a nice way to end my playing career. It's don't miss a beat. I continue with the same lifestyle. And I became an assistant coach. And soon after that, I became the head coach. But you're right, though. Like, the way I coach is a lot more. And it's taking a lot from what other people taught me along the way and taking bits and pieces that I like and I can implement into my style. And that's kind of the coach I am today.
I'm lucky enough in my life to have a couple of very close friends in my life that are teachers, and I know a bit that goes into that process. And I imagine the similarities in your life between teaching and coaching are probably worlds that intersect more than people would assume, right, John?
They do. It's all about progression. Just kind of, you know, taking something that's, you know, like for example, my team. If my team's struggling with something, I got to come up with drills for the next practice that's going to improve the team. So just kind of like in my classroom, what concepts my class struggling with, I need to provide them with opportunity to take those steps to be successful.
I guess just I wanted to ask you too about what Buffalo has meant to you to spend, you know, such a large portion of your career. I know Sandra mentioned it with you. You know, it's unusual for the modern athlete, at least nowadays, to have spent so much time in one city. For you to transition there from a player to a coach, now you've been there for a couple of decades. What's that city meant to you in all of this process?
It's definitely my second home. I spend a lot of time there. The fans of have really taken to lacrosse there. We have a large, I think our season ticket base is about 6,000-7,000, or at least it was before COVID. And we have, you know, a lot of diehard fans that literally bleed orange. And, you know, when you see so many people come out to support you, you know, you can't help but, you know, provide with your best effort, whether you're coaching or playing. You know, so it's become a big part of my life being in Buffalo.
And I guess just building off of that, you know, being from Ontario, being born in Toronto, I know you spend a lot of your time now in Mississauga, but when you think about it, having those two places, you know, the key places in your life being so close together, especially in an NLL now, John, that continues to expand across, you know, North America, how much did that make things easier for you those first couple of years and as life's gone on to, you know, essentially have your two biggest hubs, your two homes that you talk about, really being that close to each other and not having that massive separation for work and being home with your family?
Well, definitely a big reason why I played for so long. I think without that, I don't have like longevity of playing in the NLL for 24 years. I think, you know, so let's say, for example, I was in Calgary, you know, the commute back and forth, like, you know, the time zone changed to go into work on Monday to leave Friday. It's, you know, nearly impossible. You know, the majority of the games, like 95% of the games are all Saturday night. So, you know, being an hour and a half drive to Buffalo, you know, I literally can do the drive in my sleep. It's not a big deal. It's not like a 3-hour flight out west, you know, down south. So definitely the geographics of Buffalo and Toronto have worked out for myself, my family, and my full-time job of being a teacher.
So now you're behind the Buffalo bench, the Bandits finishing first in the East Division, going 14-4 during the regular season. What is it like being back after missing a couple of years because of the pandemic?
Well, one, it's great to be back because with our league, definitely is reliant on gate revenue. So when, you know, you see like NHL was playing with no fans or NBA team was playing with no fans, you know, I was a bit worried that maybe the league wouldn't survive many more years because, you know, I don't know how much the owners were willing to lose over those years of trying to pay players through COVID or whatnot. So being back is great. The first game back in Buffalo, we had about 4,000 or 5,000 people in attendance. Our last game, we had, I think, 13,500. So it's nice to see the progression of the fans increasing as the year progresses towards the end here. So I'm hoping that, you know, we can be successful in the playoffs and have a sold-out crowd by the end of the year.
Yeah, your Bandits are in the Eastern Conference Final facing, coincidentally, the Toronto Rock in this best of three. It was like it was meant to be a true derby. Take us through your preparation to face them.
Well, we have a first overall, so we have home floor advantage. From our four losses, two of them against Toronto. So they seem to have our number this year, so we definitely have a work cut out for us. You know, watched a lot of video on the three games that we've played. We beat them the first game that we faced them this year. Just kind of try, you know, we would do a lot of good things, but there's definitely things that we need to tweak, and we've been working on them, and hopefully the guys respond in the right way and make the adjustments accordingly, and hopefully that could be the difference in getting a win as opposed to a loss.
Now, outside of the National Lacrosse League, you also represented Canada at the international level during the World Championships. You got a couple of gold medals. What was it like wearing the maple leaf?
It was, again, an honor to represent Canada in, you're referring to box lacrosse.
Yep.
And I remember when we first started playing in the World Championships, it was great representing Canada. It was great to have an international event. It was just disappointing to see that there's not many countries out there playing box lacrosse. You know, the countries that were in our division, I believe, at the time were Canada, U.S., and Iroquois. And then there was like a second pool of, you know, other European countries. But it's nice seeing that the sport is now growing. I can remember the years when we have the years that I participated in Team Canada Boxercross. It's a long time ago. But there's a lot more teams now participating. Yeah. At the international level, field lacrosse is much more popular than box lacrosse.
Yeah.
So I participated both in field and box lacrosse. When I participated for the box team, we won the gold medal. Unfortunately, the last field lacrosse team I played for, Team Canada, we lost to the U.S. in the finals.
Well, you touched upon it a bit earlier there, and you touched upon mentorship, and I can tell it's really important to you. What's your hope in instilling in the next generation of lacrosse players across the country?
What's the question?
Just in terms
what
of...
trying to instill?
Yeah, what are you trying to instill as a mentor now? Yeah. You've really taken it upon your shoulders.
And I do the same thing at my, as a teacher as well. I preach hard work. Little things, they amount to big things. And just kind of day in, day out, working hard for everything you get, not taking for granted for anything. For example, this year in my lacrosse team in Buffalo, we had a great record and, we're first place for most part of the year, if not the entire year. And there's some games that, you're playing the last place team or the second last place team, and you got to motivate these guys to think, hey, these teams aren't pushovers. You got to work for everything you get. The moment you get a little too cocky or take things for granted is usually the time when teams take advantage of you and things don't go well. So, I preach two things: work hard and stay humble.
Yeah. I think that can be said for a lot of your inductees for the 2022 class. Have you been able to look down the list? Have you met any of these people? Have you met Haley or Adam in passing before?
I have not. I wish I have. Lacrosse is a very small community. It is growing, thankfully. My week revolve around weekend lacrosse, Wednesday night lacrosse practice, Monday to Friday is my job teaching high school math and my family. So yeah. Taking my kids to their lacrosse programs, taking their hockey programs. So it's busy, busy, busy. I barely see my nephew, John. hopefully I do get to meet the inductees. It's a great class. I'm honored to be inducted with such a great class. I know some of them by name. I don't know all of them, but hopefully I meet them in Toronto.
Now, before we let you go, how closely have you been watching the Stanley Cup playoffs? Will your nephew and the rest of the Maple Leafs maybe book a spot tonight? Am I jinxing them? What's going on there?
Well, I'm a diehard. See, this is the one thing I have is the issue, because Buffalo's my second home, so I can't really say I'm a Leaf fan, but
wow.
I can't deny it. I've been a Leaf fan my whole life. Wednesday, Saturday night growing up, it was Leafs, 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 and I've always stuck to my guns with the Leafs, even when my nephew John played for the Islanders. And now that he's with the Leafs, it's easy to continue to cheer for them. So I'm hoping they get by this, but I'm not making any predictions because you just never know what's going to happen.
Well, this is brilliant, John. Thank you so much.
I'm not jinxing them. I'm not jinxing them.
Maybe it's us that did it right now.
Just
no.
Keep playing, working hard. Just keep, bury your nose down and just, play hard.
Well, isn't it true that a lot of what you can learn from lacrosse, you can certainly take it into hockey? And we've seen a lot of players make that jump. I think Joe Nieuwendyk was one of them. So it's not like the skills aren't transferable, right?
To me, it's literally almost the same game, that and basketball. Just take away the skates. Yeah. I wish I was a good skater. I'm not a very strong skater, but I enjoy playing ice hockey. But box lacrosse is ice hockey and basketball mixed in.
Brilliant, John. Well, we're so grateful for you to spend some time with us today. Enjoy this accolade. You have put so much time and work into this sport over the duration of your career. And of course, even though the Roughnecks are now out, we can officially wish you all the best of luck in the National Lacrosse League playoffs. Excuse me. All the best to you, John. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Angelo. I appreciate the call. And the Roughnecks were the last team that beat us in the finals, last championship, by the way.
There you go. Tie it all in a bow.
Thanks, John.
John Tavares, he is part.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
Take care. The class of 2022 Canada Sports Hall of Fame, and it is a great class, Logan.
Yes.
Adam Vancouverden, Brian Williams, Dwayne DiRosario, Edward Lenny, Haley Wickenheiser, Tim McIsaac, Tricia Smith, Chasham Colored All-Stars, and Preston Rivulet. Like, just everybody who's done everything. A lot of builders there. Tricia Smith, she did so much as a rower, but now she's doing a lot with the IOC, Canada's Olympic Committee. Haley Wickenheiser, goodness, what can you say
about
her?
Don't need to say anything else about Haley, that's for sure.
I don't know anybody that has worked harder on and off the ice. Adam Vancouverden, now part of the going into public life, and he's involved in politics, but a fantastic athlete. And Brian Williams, I think for so many of us, growing up through a certain era and hearing his voice during the Olympics, I don't know if there's anything more synonymous. It's just
probably
it's
not. I mean, I think as sports fans, it's one of the unique things that you gather over the years is voices.
Yeah.
Right. The voices that you associate with either players or coaches over the years, but also that of play-by-play guys the Ron McLeans, the Don Cherries, the names that you can immediately throw into your head just by hearing them. And Brian Williams is probably at the top of the list for most Canadians, I would assume, when you talk about iconic sport voices. And, you know, I think so much about Jim Houston in that same vein. I think about the great Chris Cuthbert, who is still calling playoff games. But yeah, Brian Williams and all of the sporting moments in my head, at least, Sandra, that are attached to, and it's not just the moment, right? It's I don't think the golden goal, right? I don't just associate with that with the Ginla and Cross. I associate with that Chris Cuthbert call, and Brian Williams is one of those ones that is just attached to so many of those. I think the press release had like 5 decades, of Brian Williams being that kind of guy. What an incredible honor and such a deserving one for Brian and all this entire class. It's really cool because I think, and as someone in broadcasting, obviously, you're someone that thinks about those things a little bit more, but it's funny because I think being sports fans, we're lucky enough to have that moment of adding voices and, you know, different moments to our memories like that, right?
Yep. So all of these wonderful people will be honored during a ceremony later this year. And the great thing is they haven't been able to have this ceremony for the past couple of years for the reasons that we know. So the fact they can finally have something, honor everybody. And if you didn't know, actually, Canada Sports Hall of Fame is located here in Calgary. It's over at Winsport. It's a great way to spend a day. There are so many fascinating displays. You can see a slew of awards there. It is just fascinating to learn the culture and the history of sport in this country. So just a pleasure to have John Tavares on with us today. But of course, the big show rolls on. And speaking of, I don't know, does he deserve his own little Hall of Fame class?
No.
No?
What are you talking about, okay, Sandra? No way.
Well, it'll be our web guy, Jordan Tomiyama, joining us once again. Best bets. That's coming up on the big show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
You're listening to The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sandra, you know what our next guest needs?
Tell me.
Needs a reset.
A reset?
Needs any sort of sport cliche that you can think of. He needs a good next shift. Needs to get pucks in deep. Needs to be a good guy in the locker room. Whatever it is.
Yeah, 110%.
Yeah, we need 110%. We need a bounce back effort from our next guest. That next guest being usually a Friday regular, but some reason he's taking a long weekend, so we're bringing him in on a Thursday. It is our Sportsnet 960 web guy, and I'm not going to say best bets anymore. I'll just say bets, because best bets would imply that good things would happen if you follow his advice. And if you followed his advice last week, that didn't happen. Jordan, we're going to need a bounce back from you today, pal.
Okay. I know you just talked about our future or Hall of Famer, but do you know that I am actually in the Hall of Fame?
Your own Hall of Fame doesn't count.
No, I'm in the Alberta like Hockey Hall of Fame in Red Deer, I think.
Janitorial services department?
No, my Bantam team, we won provincials. And for some reason, our team was noteworthy. So we had to sign our banner, and my name is in that Hall of Fame. So I just wanted to point that out.
I'm going to need proof of that. I'm not going to lie.
I think we're in there.
Okay. I think we're in there. Yeah. I just want to be clear. There's a definite distinction between the Hall of Famer we just had on and the guy that thinks he might be in a Hall of Fame somewhere. Jordan Tomiyama with us. Now we said this, Jordan. We need a bounce back, though. Will started this with you. And I appreciate the work that you put into this. I'm never going to deny you of that. But sometimes these things don't always go to plan. And last week, things did not go to plan. Did we hit? I don't think we hit on any of the bets that we put out there last week. Did we? I don't think we hit on any of them.
No. We did not.
No.
But the Sparks cost me because they're up like 3 points with, I think, 8 seconds left, and then they fouled a three-point shooter. She hit all three, and then they lost in overtime. Mm. So that cost me that one, and then the Lightning blew it. Luka came up like 2 points short or whatever. He had 48 combined.
Yeah, Luka.
So it was just a bad night. It was a bad night. I had a good night last night, though. I know no one cares, but
I was just gonna say, you know who that helps when you were on when you weren't on yesterday to give us any bets. It doesn't help anybody. But we're gonna need a bounce back. You have some bets for us tonight that we're gonna keep an eye on. And one special one at the request of my co-host. We've asked you to dabble into a soccer pick for Sandra. I've told her about the other one so we could get ready for the segment with you, but I haven't told her about your soccer pick. So let's get to it. Jordan Tomiyama, the Sportsnet 960 web guy, and usual best bets during the week with us here on the big show. JT, where are you starting tonight? We're calling this your redemption week. Where are you starting with your picks today?
I'm going back where I failed last week. I'm going with the Lightning at -130 and to win game six. They're 16-0 in their last three playoffs when facing elimination. And especially in this series, after each loss, they've responded in a big way. So I'm going with the Lightning, force to game seven, in Toronto on Hockey Night in Canada. I know our bosses would be real happy with that. So I'm hoping that we get to see a game seven. The Lightning are 4-1 in their last five home games, and I'm going with that team that's won back-to-back championships to respond and to force a game seven because I think that's what everyone wants, and I'm just going with them on home ice.
Don't hate that one. Your second hockey pick today is what?
Yeah, I'm going with the guys from up north. I'm going Connor McDavid over 3.5 shots. I think he'll be motivated. Kind of blew it, or didn't blow it, but they didn't have a good game in game five. McDavid, he'll be on the ice a ton, especially with Darnell Nurse. They'll be relying even more on their big guys. So he has at least three shots on goal in the last three games. He had four in the last contest with tons of power play time and even some penalty kill at the end of those. I'm going to go with McDavid, probably the best player in the world. And he's going to be really aggressive. So I like the over 3.5 shots.
I won't lie. When I saw that one, I thought it would pay worse for an over 3.5 shots in an elimination game. And now maybe Connor's just not the puck volume guy I thought. But I'm thinking if Michael Stone can put up 8 shots in 10 minutes or so in game four, I like the odds of Connor in a must-win game to put more than 3 shots on goal. So those are your two hockey ones. You've got the Lightning money line -130 and Connor McDavid over 3.5 shots. That one coming in at -120. We'll go to the NBA where you have two player props tonight, correct?
Yeah, I'm going Joel Embiid. His impact obviously felt when he came back. They won 2 straight. They kind of got blown out last game, but I think we get a big game out of him. In the regular season, he averaged 30 points and just over 11 rebounds. So even if he just did that, you win your bet. I think he's one of the most unguardable players in the NBA right now. And even though he has like the mask and thumb, I think they'll need him. He'll be at his best tonight and maybe a little revenge slash motivation for not winning MVP. I think he'll be able to light up that Miami defense. And then I have Jalen Brunson over 24.5 points plus rebounds at -110. He's probably one of the hottest free agents to be. He's going to get paid this summer just because of how well he's played this postseason. He's gone over 24.5 points and rebounds in 2 out of 3 games. And Brunson, he's had way more success at home compared to on the road. So role players usually step up way more at home. So, yeah, I got Embiid over 39.5 points, rebounds, and assists. And then Brunson over 24.5 points plus rebounds.
Interesting you're going back to some of these bets after Luka dogged you last week. I don't even think – I think Luka was at least, what, 4 or 5 away from hitting on that one that you gave us last week. So you're going back to a well you know well. The Embiid one seems good. I like that the averages during the season play out well there. That was the only thing I was worried about, the one with Luka, because when I was looking into it last week, was for him to have hit the bet that you had talked to us about, he would have needed an above average – a pretty well above average one, so we'll see how those ones work out. Embiid over 39.5 points, rebounds, assists, and Jalen Brunson over 25.5 points and rebounds. And now the one set specifically for my co-host, Sandra Priscina. You're going to the English Premier League for one. I'll let Sandra react to your pick in this one, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was trying to find some deep analytics. No, I'm kidding. But going Leicester to beat Watford. They're plus 105 to win regulation. They're coming off a big nil win, yep. And they've won 3 of their last 4 games. So I'm going with the big favorite, because usually I was looking at Toronto FC, because that's one of the teams I know, but and my friend used to run social for them, but they're not having a great year, it seems, and the game was pretty much a pick 'em. So I'll go with Leicester. I'm not sure if you have any thoughts, but I'll go with the big favorite in this one.
The thing with Leicester is I can never not pick them, just given the history of that team and what it's been able to accomplish as when it technically was the underdog. So I like that pick, but I'm curious. So MLS, you're not really feeling the MLS, or in terms of Toronto, because yeah, they did lose to Vancouver the other day. So they're in a really precarious situation where they should be better than what they are. They are a better team on paper than what they're showing.
Yeah, when I lived in Toronto, I kind of followed. I think I was there when they won with Giovinco and stuff.
Yeah.
So I've kind of followed them a little bit, but I know last year they struggled. And my friend, he ran social for them, and he went even when they were in the bubble and stuff. So he kept me updated and all that stuff. But yeah, I'm not a big MLS guy. I'm not a big football guy, but it's still fun to watch. And especially, I did watch a lot of the qualifiers for Canada. Good. Because that was really entertaining. But and I'll watch the World Cup too, obviously. But yeah, it's not on the radar as of right now, but it's still entertaining.
We did get something on the text line that I think you're going to appreciate, Jordan. Somebody says, even Tom Brady has a bad week.
Stop.
What a comparison. So not only a Hall of Famer,
yeah,
Jordan Tomiyama.
The greatest quarterback of all time.
And he's a GOAT.
Oh.
Jordan GOAT Tomiyama.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think I'm comparable to Tom.
What is this? Honestly, is this your dad text? Is Mr. Tomiyama throwing a mom or dad text in there to help Jordan out there? This is unbelievable. Yeah, okay, JT. He must be a
burner.
Yeah, your burner.
On fire today.
Burner phone shooting text. All right, JT, give us the rundown. 2 NHL, 2 NBA, and you're even dabbling in the English Premier League just for Sandra. Give us a quick rundown of your 5 picks.
Lightning money line at -130. Connor McDavid over 3.5 shots at -120. And then for the NBA, Embiid over 39.5 points, rebounds, and assists at -115. And then Jalen Brunson over 24.5 points plus rebounds at -110. And then Leicester to win in regulation or 90 minutes at +105. And then the words of Ted Lasso, football is life. So there you go.
All right, JT. Redemption week for you. Let's hope you bounce back. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your long weekend. Travel up to Edmonton safe, okay?
Yeah, be safe, Jordan.
Awesome. Thank you.
See you. There you go. JT, Jordan Tomiyama, the Sportsnet 960 web guy, and our best bets of the week here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll see if Jordan can redeem himself after last week. We'll switch things back to the Calgary Flames, Sandra. Morning skate for the group today, getting set to head to Dallas. No morning skate today, just a media availability before they headed onto the plane to head to Dallas for game six tomorrow. Going to be an exciting one. A couple of guys that stepped up big time for the Flames last night. Blake Coleman, Michael Backlund, Andrew Mangiapane, that second line, reunited again last night. They had a huge one, and I liked a lot of what Blake has talked about, you know, whether it was that intermission or what it's going to take this team not resting on their laurels when it comes to potentially heading into Dallas to pick up a win in game six. That's certainly the focus of the head coach, Daryl Sutter, well aware that his team has yet to accomplish anything. It was a big win in game five, but it doesn't mean much unless they can come back to Calgary with a win under their belt in game number six. Here's the head coach, Daryl Sutter. He spoke to the media before his team departed to Dallas for game number six.
You mentioned last night that the fourth one is always the hardest to get in a series.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, one's, you know, bottom line is at the end of the day, we have a lot of guys that haven't won a fourth game. So that's the next step in the process, see if we're capable of doing that.
So what do you tell those guys who haven't?
I've been telling them for a year and a half. It's not like tomorrow you're going to tell them something different.
Backlund said that a couple of guys spoke up in the second intermission. Just how much of a difference can that leadership make during a game?
Well, you make the playoffs because you have some. Half the teams do, so it's not like there's some brilliant moment that falls out of the sky and that's going to make the difference in a game.
Daryl, can you just talk about Johnny Gaudreau? He's taken some pretty good licks.
Johnny's been really good in the playoffs. For me, he's taken that step 100%. He did it you can see it during the season. He's done it during the playoffs. Proud of Johnny.
Is he a Hart finalist in your heart?
Well, him and Markey are our guys, so I don't know what that means or who votes on that. I have no idea.
You guys that have won the Cup before and you brought them in for that, their experience, and getting over that fourth game hump or whatever, do you feel like having them around is really going to make a difference?
I think the recency, in fact, does. I think guys that, you know, there's always guys, older guys that won it, and it's hard to go that far again, and they have to challenge themselves to see if they can, because it's a huge price they pay. And then there's probably younger guys that win it, and they don't even remember what happened, you know, like when they're kids. But I think the recency effect has a lot to do with it. I think that Blake Coleman and Trevor Lewis and Ty going last year to the finals, too, I think that has a bigger impact than anything.
Where do you see it most with Blake? He's won it, obviously, most recently. Where do you see that?
Because it's hard during the game. For lack of a better word, you get the shit kicked out of you during the game. And you got to be willing to do it to somebody else. And there's players that do and players that don't. And when you ask, well, how come that guy didn't play or how come he's struggling or something like that, that's why.
Did we see that from Blake in the third period last night?
Seen it the whole game. I mean, if you only see it in the third period, well, you probably. I mean, it's not like he's a great competitor. It's not like he's a star. So he's got to be a great competitor every shift.
You've mentioned sort of not being able to pass it, you know, like pass it into the net, basically. But Blake sort of drove to the net hard. Is that an example of sort of what?
It's where all the goals come from. Screens, tips, rebounds. It's basically a challenge for the goalies, what you have to make it.
Given the way that line came together in the third period, is it likely to be together again? I
really didn't give it much thought. We just played nine forwards, and then once we got the penalties, then Trevor played and did a good job for us. So if you play 11 forwards, well, you're not really going in lines. You're basically, what you're doing is anybody who's not putting the hammer down gets to watch. So it doesn't matter who plays with who.
There you go, the head coach Daryl Sutter ahead of his team departing for Dallas ahead of Game 6 from Texas tomorrow night. And yes, some high praise for Johnny Gaudreau and all of that, despite not being a finalist for the Hart Trophy. The head coach has clearly seen growth out of the game of number 13. Of course, lots of high praise. And why wouldn't you, Sandra, for the games of Blake Coleman and Trevor Lewis after last night? Two guys that Lou mentioned with us a little bit earlier back in hour one. And I don't know how you could walk away from that third period not impressed with what 20 and 22 were able to give your team.
Yeah, Trevor Lewis really is an unsung hero on this team. And he leads by example by doing those little things that maybe other people don't want to do. But his drive to the net on that empty net goal where, if you were watching on TV, it looked like nobody was going for it until he somehow snuck up out of nowhere and potted it in the empty net. But those two have been fantastic standouts. And I think you and I talked about this earlier this week. I'm not sure if it was with Lou or not, but the importance of bringing certain people with a certain pedigree into this organization, Blake Coleman being one of them and Trevor Lewis being the other. Mm-hmm. So they're obviously showing what they've accomplished in the past.
They sure have. One of those guys that shone out last night, Blake Coleman, integral part of both goals there for the Calgary Flames, especially that net front drive for the goal that ties the game early in the third period with Michael Backlund getting on the board, and just another tremendous performance from number 20 on the penalty kill. He's one of those guys that the Flames are leaning on when it comes to playoff experience, and he knows as well as anybody when you hear him speaking to the media today ahead of leaving for Dallas that, look, game three, a big one for this Flames team, but the fourth one is the hardest one to get, and that's going to be their challenge. Heading into Dallas, here's Flames forward Blake Coleman.
Just for starters, Blake, the third period last night, you know, what it says about your group again. I mean, we've talked about it through this series about sticking with things and not getting frustrated, but the third last night.
Yeah, it was a big period for us, obviously. You know, I thought they played a really stingy game, you know, but I think, to your point, I think our group stuck with it. You know, nobody was really frustrated. It was just one of those things where we knew it was going to take a little bit of a stronger effort to get a puck in the net and get one past him, and obviously it was a huge third for us, and now we go into Dallas with a hold on the series.
What's the feeling like when you're hopping onto a flight knowing you have a chance to clinch a series?
It's better than hopping on a flight being down, but no, it's, you know, it's a tough challenge. You know, if there's something I've learned over the last few years, it's that closing a team out is the hardest part of a series, and winning that fourth game is the hardest game you got to win. So the job's certainly not done. It's still, you know, a lot of work ahead of us here, and you know they're going to be a proud group, and you got to put them in a position where they don't want it anymore.
How do you match that desperation that they're obviously going to have in an elimination game?
You got to treat it the same way. You know, I think you know, this is a time of year where you can't take your foot off the gas at all, and can't let up or show any weakness. You got to you know, kick guys when they're down, and that's, you know, it's going to be a great atmosphere. Obviously, their backs are against the wall, so, you know, you got to match that that intensity and that willingness to pay the price to win.
Blake, what was, Backlund said that a few guys spoke up in that second intermission. What was said, and were you one of the guys that spoke up there?
Yeah, there were a few things said. I don't want to get too much into detail, but, you know, it's that time of year where, you know, when you have a really good team like we do, you know, you don't want to let opportunities like this slip by. And, you know, I feel like our group is a special group. And, you know, sometimes you just need that reminder that chances like this don't happen every year, every day. And you got to be willing to, like I said, to pay the price to create those lifelong memories, because these are the games that you remember.
Darryl said last night that obviously winning each game in the series is incrementally harder, and the fourth game particularly you just mentioned, and not many guys in this group have done that. As somebody that has, is there anything you do or say around the room to other guys to kind of help them get them across the finish line?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that, you know, I have to be a rah-rah guy. Obviously, we have a handful of guys that have won cups and won, you know, gone on long playoff runs, things like that. So there's guys that have handled their business in winning that fourth game, and, you know, I think that third period is a great model for us to, you know, to keep building on. And if we play like that, in this next game, then we're going to be in great shape.
Seems like when you and Andrew and Michael play together, you have success. And I know you haven't played a lot together of late, but what about the three of you works together?
Yeah, it's been a great, just one of those things where you have chemistry and, you know, they're both similar players in the sense that they see the game really well. They work really hard on both ends of the ice. You know, I'd say the majority of our offense is driven off of forechecking and turnovers and just hard work. And I think we all share that that aspect of the game. And, you know, we just, whatever it is, we just kind of complement each other. And obviously those two were big time last night and a big reason why we're in the spot that we're in.
Did you sort of know Manning was going to be there when you drove to the net on that goal?
Yeah, I knew I'd help. It was just that point of the game where, you know, like I said, they were stingy. They weren't giving us much. It was going to take a little extra effort to get pucks to the net, get bodies to the net. You know, I was fortunate enough that 2D kind of went with me there, and it opened up a little bit of space. And then, like I said, those two made a couple really great plays to get the puck in, because it's been a struggle for us to do that.
You may have absolutely nothing to say about it, but Flames fans are not overly pleased this morning because Johnny did not get nominated for the Hart. Are you surprised to see him not get nominated for the season ahead?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm biased because I see him all the time, but you know, he's definitely one of the best players in the NHL. He's what you buy tickets to watch. You know, he's one of those players that is just so dynamic, and like I said, he puts butts in seats, and you know, the season he had is incredible. Obviously, you know, I think Johnny would be the first to tell you that he would trade the Hart for a cup any day. So. Go with that.
You getting more tickets when you go home back this time than you did for game four?
Like I said, I got my wife as my executive assistant for the week, so I let her handle all that.
Blake, I'm assuming with Johnny, you've learned a lot in the playoffs from him so far. I mean, he's taken some pretty good knocks to the head and keeps getting up, and it's tough slogging out there, yet he's still plugging away and being effective in some ways.
Yeah, we actually joked about it in between periods, just telling him what a warrior he was, and just, you know, but jokes aside, he, like you said, he's taken some good licks, and to his credit, you know, it hasn't fazed him. He's gotten right back up and continued to play his game. So, you know, I haven't been here in years past, but having one of your best skilled players show that toughness and grit goes a long way in the locker room, and I think that... you know, he's definitely been leading by example, especially over the last few games here.
Is there a different buzz when you have a chance to go close a team out? Like, this franchise hasn't been in the second round for quite a while. Is there a different buzz around the group right now?
Yeah, I mean, this time of year, if there's not a buzz around, something's wrong. So it's definitely in the room. You know, we feel it. There was a lot of excitement after the comeback last night. You know, but that's kind of to my point where you just got to settle back in and refocus, because we haven't won anything yet. And, you know, we'll celebrate when we actually have something to celebrate.
There you go. Flames forward, Blake Coleman. Nothing to celebrate yet for the Calgary Flames. They'll look to be able to celebrate perhaps a round one victory if they can pick up a win tomorrow night in Dallas. That'll do it for hour number two of the program. Take a break, come back on the other side. It's Thursday, which means we get to check in with Adnan Virk from MLB and NHL Network. Plus, 3:30, Sandra Prosino with the biggest stories of the day. She's got your headlines, that and more. Coming up in hour number three of the big show. Keep it locked. You're on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.